We'd like to welcome everyone to the study session for the Mesa City Council for Monday, August 31st, 2009. First of all, we'd like to excuse Councilmember Richens, who will not be at the study session today. The first item on our agenda is to review the items for tonight's regular council meeting. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. And page 8. Okay. The next item on the agenda is to hear a presentation and discuss the upcoming 2010 census. Butler?
Mayor, Council, good afternoon. Jerry Dillahay and I are here to briefly talk about the city's efforts with the census and then really turn it over to Al Macias, who's here representing the U.S. Census Bureau. And I know Al's had a long day. I saw him on Channel 12 at 6:30 this morning, so I know he's really covering all.
I missed my first one at 5:30.
Ooh, okay. So we'll try.
I saw that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
You weren't on at 4:30 when I was up though. No,
yeah.
Just kidding.
So, but Mayor, just briefly in introducing Al, just wanted to talk briefly about why the city cares so much about the census and what it means to the city to have a responsible full count of all of our residents. It's been estimated that for each resident, that represents about $1,200 to the city. So when we talk about shared revenue, when we talk about federal grants, and we talk about, you know, other funding opportunities that come through the city, that represent each uncounted person represents a huge loss of revenue into the city, and it's something that frankly.
And just so we know, because I've had someone ask me this question, it seems simple, but these are monies that are normally distributed out to everybody. The census by themselves don't create $1,200 per person.
That's right.
But what happens is that through the course of the years, there are monies that are appropriated at either the federal or the state level that are divvied up among cities. And the basis for divvying those up is the census. So if we don't have all the people, then we don't get that money that's already being divvied up. We just don't get as our fair share of it.
That's right.
Because there was a misperception that somehow this was creating additional expenditure by going through the census. No, it has nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm. And Mayor, you're exactly right. Thanks for the clarification. And a good representation of this has been the stimulus. We just spent some time Thursday talking about that. But a large portion of the money that the city of Mesa has seen via stimulus has been formula grants based on population. So if we don't receive an accurate count, there are funds just like stimulus that will prevent us from getting the rightful share that Mesa's population represents. And so the other trend that's important for the city in this regard has been, and it's a trend we need to reverse, our participation rate of responses to the census has been declining over the last few decades. And the national average is about 65%. I think Al will get more into this. Mesa in 2000, we had a 58% response rate. And frankly, our mid-decade census, which was not a national census, but a Maricopa County only census, was even worse response rate than that. So this is something we need to reverse and make sure we get an accurate count. And then, of course, congressional districts and other things are based off of census counts, which are important to Mesa. So with that, I just want to turn it over to Jerry Dillahay, who's been asked by the city manager to head up our census operations. And Jerry can talk about some of the nuts and bolts of what we're doing behind the scenes.
The city has been involved in interfacing with the census for about 6 months, perhaps a little longer, through our planning department. Some of the things that we want to update you on are marketing and outreach. I serve on a committee, a complete count committee, that represents cities from around the valley. We meet once a month and share information. We try to have begun to provide promotional materials and information and brochures at already planned city events out in the community. We're looking forward to some pancake breakfast this fall to do the same. We will be providing news releases and drop-in news broadcast, et cetera, through Channel 11. Channel 11 is signed on as a partner. We're also working through MAG. All the other surrounding cities in the valley have pooled their resources to create quite a media buy, and I'm sure Al will give us some more information about that, but starting in the late fall, you will be blitzed by every radio, TV station, newspaper, et cetera. We're even exploring with the possibility of wrapping a light rail. The first wrap might be a census wrap if we can find our resources to do it. Also, we'll be launching the opening of a census area office in Mesa in December up at Higley and Brown, and we'll be have been announcing census jobs throughout the city website. We're also supported by our planning division, the GIS staff, et cetera, building construction that are verifying annexation boundaries right up to the date to make sure we don't miss any new residents. Tracking new residential development to that end, locating unsheltered population sites around the city, they count also, and a lot of cross-promotional. The library will be hoping to get information through our library programs. We're working with utilities to perhaps put billboards on garbage trucks, et cetera. Museums have been handing out materials for the last two free Sundays. We'll continue that effort. So you'll be seeing a lot of ramping up with more information provided from the city departments. And with that, we'd like to turn this over to Al. So we don't.
Well, while they establish control of,
there you go.
Here we go. Houston, we have control. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As Jerry indicated, my name is Al Macias, and I'm a partnership specialist here with the Census Bureau. I am a native of Arizona, so just so you know that even though my business card says Denver, I am a homeboy, and I've been here all my life, and I understand how important the census is to our state. I've watched it grow over the years, watched the East Valley grow, and so I want to just try and take a few minutes to explain to you how important it is. As Jerry was indicating, I'll throw a couple of numbers out at you. One thing the census is big on is numbers and acronyms. I will try and minimize the acronyms and not overwhelm you with the numbers. But the fact is that the census is required by the Constitution. First one was done in 1790 by U.S. Marshals riding around on horseback. And it requires that all U.S. residents be counted, people of all races, ethnic groups, citizens and non-citizens. The Constitution asks that everyone residing in the United States, that's actually the language there, so that's what the Census Bureau does. And so we do it every 10 years. Those little wheels that you have in front of you that I noticed everyone was enjoying right off the bat are actually some of the information is gathered through another segment of the Census Bureau called the American Community Survey. And that's some of the characteristics, as we say. The decennial census, we like to say, gives us a count of the United States. The American Community Survey, and I'll get into that a little bit later, which is now done annually, provides us the characteristics and flushes out those numbers, those raw numbers that we get every 10 years. But as we say, the census day is done in April. April 1st is designated census day. The first census, I think, was done in August for the first few rounds, and then in 1930 or 40, I believe it was, April was designated. And what will happen is that the questionnaires will be arriving in the mail, and we'll get into that a little bit. As we said, as the slide here says, there's hundreds of specialists here in across the country that are working to get the word out. I am part of the group that works out of the Denver office. We're all virtual, if you will. We work here in the Phoenix area. We answer to Denver. There are 12 regions across the country broken out. And in the Denver region, there are 10 states. It's New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, and Utah, Nevada, Wyoming, Montana, the Dakotas, and Nebraska. And in that, of those 10 states, Arizona is getting the most resources, both material and manpower. The reasons are Arizona is the largest population, has the largest population of any of the states in the region. We have the largest metro area of any state in the region. We underperformed as a state in 2000. The national average was 67%, and Arizona did 63%. Maricopa County did 65%, and you already heard what Mesa did. So we're looking to improve a little bit on that. What we say about the 2010 census is that it's easy, It is only 10 questions. It'll be the shortest questionnaire in history. 10 questions, 10 minutes. You have samples of the questionnaire there in your packets. The actual questionnaire, when it arrives next year, will have multiple pages for other people in your household, but you see that each one will, you won't have to answer any more than 10 questions. It is safe. By law, responses cannot be shared with anyone, the IRS, Homeland Security, or anyone. The privacy and confidentiality of these number, the information, the personal information is guaranteed by the Constitution and also by Title 13 of the Criminal Code. I've taken a lifetime oath that even if I did have access, I can't release that information, even if I go work for Circle K or Bash's or somebody else years down the road. It is important. We understand, you heard a little bit about the federal dollars that are distributed. Every year, $400 billion are distributed across the country. Those allocations are based on census numbers. So if we don't get a complete count in Mesa, if we don't get a complete count in Arizona, Las Vegas or Nevada are going to get those dollars. Miami or Florida or one of the other states that are still growing are going to get those dollars. The fact is that we all as taxpayers pay our taxes, and this is an effort to get our full share. So it is important. Jerry also touched upon the fact that we also have congressional reapportionment. There's most predictors are saying that Arizona will pick up 2 congressional seats as a result of the 2010 census. And there's also legislative reapportionment as well. The way it's going to work is next year, in March, first or second week in March, there will be a little flyer that's going to go out and say, here comes the census. The questionnaire is coming. Be ready for it. Then about the second and third week in March, the questionnaires will be mailed through the U.S. Postal Service, and they are delivered to an address. They're not delivered to an individual, so every household will get one. If someone lives in a rural area and they have a P.O. box and they don't get home service, there will be census workers who have already plotted every home, every mobile home, every trailer, every boat. If you live on Marina Del Rey or Lake Powell, if that's where you live, and that's where you get your mail, there will be someone there, and they will go and actually deliver a questionnaire to your door. So that's going to happen. And then there will be a final reminder in the third or fourth week of August, of March, which says the questionnaires have been delivered. Have you answered yours? And so that's what we're looking to do. 2010 is the census day. That's the day that basically the Census Bureau takes a snapshot of America is what it's called. And that's when we want to count everyone. Final counts are then delivered to the president. There are some other steps that go on. But the final counts by law are delivered to the president December 31st. And then local jurisdictions get the information, their counts and population information February and March of 2011. Okay, if you're at home on New Year's Eve and you're watching Dick Clark or Ryan Seacrest of those New Year's celebrations, you'll probably start to see the first of the census media campaign, about a $200 to $300 million media campaign that is going to hit everything, television, radio, internet, billboards, print, multiple languages. And so that's what's going to happen then, and it's an effort. In addition to that, as Jerry talked about, MAG is coordinating a local campaign that's valued at about $800,000. The actual cost is significantly less than that, but the MAG folks have negotiated some pretty good deals, so there will be local media carrying as well. I've gone through the dates. March through June, we have group quarters and transitory location, dormitories, nursing homes, jails, prisons, those are all group quarters. Those will be counted through a certain process. The enumeration, that's the process, as I said, where they the questionnaires are delivered to the door. And then the follow-up, this would be one of those acronyms I'm going to throw at you, NRFU, the non-response follow-up. If someone does not answer a questionnaire, census workers can go to a home up to 6 times and knock on the door to get that information. As I said at the beginning, this is required by the Constitution, so we try and get that information. Here's a number that will probably, it makes people's eyes pop a little bit, and that is in 2000, 67% of the people, as I said, responded. That meant 33% of the people had to be tracked down by knocking on the doors. For every 1% nationally that the Census Bureau had to go back and recover those numbers, it cost $90 million. So if you do some quick math, it cost about $3.3 billion to go back and knock on doors. As people who work for government, I have worked in government. I've also been a critic of government. We all talk about inefficiencies and waste. We can all make our government be a little bit more efficient and save a lot of money by just answering those questionnaires. And the fact, for 2010, they estimate that that number is going to be $100 million per point. So that's what we talk about. The sample of the questionnaire. The 2010 census questionnaire will be available in six different languages: English, Spanish, Korean, Chinese, Vietnamese, and Russian. And so the Bureau has already identified those neighborhoods, those tracts, where another language might be needed. Some neighborhoods in the metro area, obviously Spanish. If you live up in Russia, if you live in Sacramento or Denver, you might get a Russian ballot. There's significant populations there. If you live up in San Jose, you may get one of any of those six. In addition, there will be language assistance provided in 59 different languages, everything from Albanian to Yiddish. So if you have a new immigrant who doesn't understand it, they will be able to go to a site, and I'll talk a little bit about that, or be able to pick up a phone and call and get some information. Next are what we call the Quality Questionnaire Assistance Centers, or QAACs. QAACs are easier to say and remember. And we are looking for local community sites, either government sites, faith-based sites, community organizations, where people have some comfort. So if you have, let's say, some immigrants and they belong to a church, I keep using churches because they provide a good example. And so new immigrants or somebody who doesn't understand or may not feel comfortable listening to some guy in a suit and a tie, but they're comfortable with somebody from their neighborhood, their church. We would ask these churches or these community-based organizations to provide their facility a few hours a week, and then the Census Bureau will either provide staff, or we will hire, train, and pay people from that organization or that church to staff the facility and provide that resource, be that trusted voice. That's what we're looking for, the trusted voice, the credible voice in the community who can reach out and explain what the census is about. So that's what the QACs are about. As it says right there, we also have the Be Counted program. For some reason, you don't get a questionnaire at your home. You say, I lived here 20 years, but I didn't get one. You'll be able to go to a site. Western Union, for example, is one of our national partners. Many of their key sites around the country will have, I call them kiosks, or just these large cardboard boxes. You'll be able to go and get a questionnaire there, fill it out. It'll have basically the same information. Put in a self-addressed or the stamped envelope, send it off. You will still be counted. The Complete Count Committee. These are what we were asking, mostly governments, but also in some cases community organizations, to form these complete count committees or campaigns. Sometimes the committee word scares people off, that means meetings, but a campaign as well. The idea being that bring local leaders together, as I said, trusted people, credible people, who know their community, who know what the challenges are, who know what some of the problems might be, and reach out and find the people in your community, in Mesa, in your neighborhoods, to help us get that word out. Use your local knowledge, expertise, to help get the message. There is no blueprint from the Census Bureau that says this is the way you should do it. What works for Mesa is what works for Mesa. It may not work in Glendale, it may not work in Scottsdale. You folks need to determine what's going to work. You know where your key demographics are, where those hard-to-count populations are. We're asking you to use your expertise to help us. Okay, we're getting to the partnership program, and that's what I am. I'm called a partnership specialist. It's outreach, working with community organizations, businesses, faith-based organizations. Along with that, in those packets that distributed, I gave you samples of some of the collateral that we're using for all these different organizations, as well as education. Mayor, if you heard me this morning, you knew I was talking about schools. The census in the schools is a huge component that we're talking about working with schools. Maybe that's a cue to quit. But anyhow, we know that parents trust the school. They entrust their kids to a school for 6, 7, 8 hours a day. That's a credible voice. So the idea being if we can reach out through the schools for the children, get that message, come home to the parents, we can get that message out once again. And so we're available, along with it being easy, safe, and important. Remember that I and my other specialist friends are resources, and so that's what we want to do. Real quickly on the marketing materials, we have materials I've already provided Jerry with some. By the way, Mesa was one of the first cities to apply for the program and was approved. And so we can provide some materials, and we have some dollar resources through the partnership support program that we use to help those partners who are helping us. Here's the numbers. United States, this is a 2000 response rate, and this is for those questionnaires that were mailed and then responded. U.S. 67, Arizona 63, and then all the way down. And so, and that's it. It's quick. It's 10 questions. It's safe, guaranteed by the Constitution. It's important. Dollars and vote, voting power. It's vital. It's vital to your community, and it's required by the Constitution. So that, in a rather large nutshell, is what our effort is. I'll be glad to answer any questions if you have any.
Great. Any questions for the council? Thank you, Al, thank Jerry, you. And Scott. Before you leave, I'd like to talk a little bit about our Complete Count Committee, which we are in the process of forming. And being in the process, I've reached out and asked Mr. Gary Smith. Gary, you want to stand up, please? Gary, I've known Gary for quite a long time and was served on the United Way board with Gary, and Gary has very graciously agreed to serve as the chair of our Complete Count campaign. And we are in the process of filling this committee, and as Al talked about, we take it very seriously, and we're going to have, I believe, a good group of citizens involved in this, and those citizens who will really help us not only get up to that percentage, but to beat that percentage so we can make sure that we're fully counted in Mesa. So thank you, Gary, in advance. I appreciate that. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The next item is to hear a presentation and discuss the flu season.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. I'm Carrie Ken, Deputy City Manager, and with me today is Assistant Fire Chief Gil Damiani, who also serves as our Emergency Management Coordinator. We're here today to provide a brief presentation regarding the city's preparation for the upcoming flu season. Gil will speak briefly regarding his team's responsibilities and what they're doing from a regional perspective, and then I'll follow up with what we're doing with city employees to educate them about the upcoming season. Gil?
There's probably more information about the swine flu than you'd ever want to know about anything else. And a lot of it is somewhat confusing. Some of it is conflicting. But one of the things that we've done, at least from a regional response, is tried to coordinate and collaborate with a lot of the different agencies, public health, local fire departments, public schools, And from an emergency management position as well. So we've done a whole lot of collaborating and a whole lot of coordinating. Some of the information that is fairly consistent is that we are in a pandemic state right now in the United States. There's no question about it that the H1N1 virus is contagious. One of the things that we do know also is that is appears to be about as virulent as the seasonal flu. So in other words, more people are getting it, but it's killing about the same amount of, or it's appears to be fatal in the same amount of numbers, percentage-wise. About 1 in 4 people they expect to be ill with the flu. So from an emergency manager standpoint, one of our key concerns is the fact that we need to make sure that we have continuity of government and then continuity of service. So as we collaborate and plan, some of the things that we want to make sure is that we get out a consistent message to not only each of our workforces, but the citizenry as well. We want to make sure that we have educated people enough to the point where they feel comfortable in getting vaccinations when the vaccination becomes available, the flu vaccination, seasonal flu, and the H1N1 when it does come available. We have also done some planning, preventing, and preparing. Due to Chief Beck's leadership and guidance, we initiated a vendor in town in October to walk interested city departments through a continuity of operation plan, which obviously addresses reduction in workforce issues and things like that. So we started that almost a year ago, and we're very pleased with the way that ended. A couple of the other things, the pandemic influenza preparedness and planning training, we brought in some folks from that were nationally recognized to present a Center of Domestic Preparedness training portion to here in the Valley, and Mesa hosted it. The day we posted it on the website, the classroom filled up. They only allowed 40 participants. We had 80 people sign up right away. Consequently, they're going to host another one in Glendale in the middle of October. But anyway, that was a very popular training program. We got some great information from folks from all over the country that have involvement in the CDC and the federal government when it comes to manufacturers of vaccinations and things like that. It was great information. The final thing that we've done, and again, we continue to do things, but is we have put in place a preliminary all-hazard incident management team comprised of safety services, fire department, and police personnel. We've made some preliminary assignments, and they are basically staged in the event that we do have to put together some mass vaccinations or points of distribution. That team is in place to be able to provide the management of those particular areas.
As far as what the city's doing regarding our educational campaign, we're really modeling that of the Center for Disease Control and state and local agencies, which is some preventative measures, which includes washing your hands frequently with soap and water, and if you're not near a water source, to use alcohol-based hand sanitizer, especially after sneezing. We're making our employees aware of flu symptoms, which includes fever, sore throat, coughs, headaches, etc. We're asking employees to keep their sick home, their kids, if they are sick, keep them at home, but start developing plans. So if that does occur, what is their backup plan for watching their children? More preventative measures include coughing into your sleeve or cover your cough with a tissue, which avoids touching your hands, and avoid touching eyes, nose, and mouth with your hands. We're also asking our employees, if they are sick, to stay home and avoid work and social gatherings, as well as to avoid close contact with sick people. And we're also asking employees to get their rest. We're also embarking on a roll-up-your-sleeve campaign, which we're encouraging our employees to get their flu shots if they are able to do so. The vaccine this season is just for the seasonal flu, and we're starting to get that to be delivered to our fire department. We plan on opening up employee clinics in September, and we've actually increased our doses this year and ordered 1,000 more doses for our employees, which will have 2,500 doses. As Gil mentioned, the H1N1 virus, the vaccine is currently being evaluated. We expect that it will be distributed in October. You see some of the at-risk populations, something slightly different with the H1N1 virus. As far as the targeted population is actually, it's affecting younger individuals. We're expecting that two doses are going to be required for individuals who are going to get the vaccine. And we anticipate that initially about 40 million doses will be rolled out and more produced by year's end. And also that we expect that guidelines are going to be developed that will target those initial doses towards those at-risk population. In addition, the supervisors in our organization are working on contingency plans. They're looking at, if there is going to be this 1 in 4 absenteeism rate, we're identifying what are our essential functions, what can we do to ensure that we have employees that are able to carry out those essential functions, and it might include some cross-training that we are in the process of doing right now. We're encouraging our supervisors to allow their employees some flexibility in their schedules to get themselves or family members vaccinated. We're ensuring hand sanitizers and tissues and so forth are throughout the workplace for our employees and the public. I'll turn it back to Gil.
In closing, this pandemic has been characterized as a slow-moving train. And one of the things that we can do, actually, we get the greatest bang for our dollar, is to educate and make sure that preparedness efforts have been taken in place. The Emergency Management Division has taken every opportunity we can to educate not only city employees, but citizens through civic groups, church groups, things like that, and just make sure everyone understands the significance of self-reliance or being prepared, so that in the event folks do get sick, they will have all the necessary items that they can that they'll need to stay healthy and prevent from getting ill. That's it.
Thank you. Any questions? Councilmember Finter.
Just a quick question with regard to our first emergency first responders. You mentioned the employee clinics. So I presume there's a plan in place to make sure that all those individuals have the H1N1 vaccinations also at no cost to them? Or?
Mayor, Councilmember Finner, there is a plan. The healthcare providers are part of the first tier of folks to get the H1N1 vaccination. However, what they're realizing, and statistics show this, is that the at-risk group are actually children or school-aged children under the age of 19. However, the healthcare responders are in that first tier.
As a follow-up, we have a plan to make sure that all our people are taken care of right off the bat.
Once we get the vaccination, I can't tell you exactly who's going to get it because we don't know how much we're going to get. But once we get enough, they will certainly be in that list.
Okay. Councilman Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. Some of you on the council have had fun teasing me at times being the oldest person on the city council, but I hope being the oldest person I can be a role model. I did get my seasonal flu shot last week, so I can go out and shake a lot of hands with people, but we'll also remember to use the hand sanitizer. So my challenge is to you to all to get your seasonal flu shots, and we'll wait and see for the H1N1, but it's easy to do, I guarantee you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Hand sanitizer and a tissue to cough in, so we hope that you will use it wisely.
Thank you, Mr. Brady, for announcing that.
The council has been sanitized.
It has been sanitized. Thank you.
No, thank you so very much. I think that, I've been watching over the last little while, and it is surprising that, once again, we have the regular flu, the H1N1, and, I hope we as a community are not caught off guard. I know that the steps you've taken certainly will help us get there, so thank you so very much. Okay, the next one is to hear reports on meetings and our conferences attended. Have any reports? Councilmember? We're going to take care of that in the regular council meeting. That's okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Good. Anything else? Okay, Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just remind the council, we will not be having a study session this Thursday. Many of you will be attending the Arizona League Conference. We will be having our next study session will be Thursday, September 10th. That'll begin at 7:30, and our next council meeting will be Monday, September 14th. Thank you very much.
Yep. Okay. Councilman
Reagan? Mayor, just wanted to point out that you had a very large turnout in District 5 for your second mayor's forum.
That's right. No, thank you to all those who came to the community conversation with the community last Thursday at a very engaging time and some great questions, and really appreciated everyone's involvement, and I hope they learned something. I know I did. So thank you to all those who came out. We're trying, I think we have tentatively scheduled at least one, if not two more, in different parts of the city. So everyone, if you have an opportunity, ask whatever question you want. Great conversation. So thank you for attending. Appreciate it.
Mayor, I do one more announcement. Yes. I failed to mention this Saturday, September 5th, we'll have the reopening of Rhodes Pool, and we'll have the dedication ceremony will be at 11 a.m. So I encourage everyone to come out, and you can go come check out the latest addition at Rhodes Pool, which is the soon to be very popular Flow Rider. Thank you. We're free swim till 1 p.m. That's correct.
No.
Till 5.
Free swim all day.
Oh, sorry, that's right.
Free swim all day. Councilman Richens has something.
But there is a charge. I apologize for being late, but there's one other thing I wanted to mention. Saturday morning, I had the opportunity to go out and briefly be with the people who are going around the city. It's a crew that specifically goes out and picks up illegal signs that are left in our rights of way. The work from home signs and car. And we had a pretty good sized crew out there Saturday morning, and I just wanted to say a big thank you to them. Have the opportunity to talk to a few of them and see how dedicated they are. They're picking up about 1,400 signs a month on these sweeps that they do. They just do a fantastic job, and I just wanted to do what I could to recognize them and thank them for their efforts, because it makes a big difference. I think the city looks really clean and neat because of their efforts.
Thank you. Appreciate recognizing that. Okay, anything else? Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
A motion from the Vice Mayor, second Councilmember Summers. All in favor?
Aye.
We'll adjourn. We'll see you upstairs in a few minutes.